Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
My brothers and sisters, well, this is from James chapter 2, verses 1 through 17. My brothers and sisters, do not claim the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ of glory while showing partiality. For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, "Have a seat here in a good place, please," while to the one who is poor you say, "Stand there," or "Sit by my footstool," have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters, has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs to the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor person. Is it not the rich who oppress you? Is it not they who drag you into the courts? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. For the one who said, "You shall not commit adultery," also said, "You shall not murder." So if you do not commit adultery, but you murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be without mercy to anyone who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Faith without works is dead. What is good, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but does not have works? Surely that faith cannot save, can it? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill," and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead.
Before we listen to God's message, let us pray together. Lord God, thank you for the wonderful opportunity to be here with other believers in your presence. Thank you for this house of worship. Thank you for the opportunity to come together and express our love for you through singing, through song. Thank you for forgiveness of sins. Thank you again today that we're able to come to the table and experience the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your word. And as we now ask that you will speak to us, will your Holy Spirit please prepare our hearts and our minds to receive your message? And this we pray in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, death, you know, unfortunately, is something that we all have to live with. And as a pastor, I've often had to be present in people's lives when they have to face death. Even more so when I worked as a chaplain at the Methodist Hospital in Brooklyn many, many years ago. There were occasions when I had to be present when the doctors had to tell people in a waiting room that their loved one is dead. And it's a pronouncement that none of us ever wants to hear regarding a loved one. But when a person is declared dead, it's important that the declaration be correct, of course. Rarely, but occasionally, a person who appears to be dead is not dead after all. He or she suddenly exhibits signs of life again, and some even recovered. And so doctors want to make sure that they get it right. Because today, with the help of medical life support procedures, when a heart stops beating or when a person stops breathing, it's not always sufficient to say that the person has definitely died. A stopped heart can sometimes be restarted. In fact, stopping and restarting a patient's heart is standard procedure during heart surgery. And breathing can be sustained by a ventilator, as you well know. So in cases when a person is sustained by life support but is believed to be otherwise dead, there's a standard that's been adopted by every state in the country. The patient is dead when there is no longer any functioning brain activity. And they determine this in two ways. First, the doctors go through a detailed process that establishes the person's inability to respond to voice and touch and pain or other stimuli. And second, by confirming that the brainstem no longer works to regulate the person's breathing. In other words, if the person is removed from the ventilator, the person will not breathe on his or her own. So, having said all of that, we have specific criteria for when physical death occurs, but what about faith? When is faith dead? And that's kind of what James is talking about in our passage for today. And he's putting down some criteria. But he's not talking about dead people. He's talking about dead faith. And first he says, how can you claim to have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ if you favor some people over others? How can you claim, he says, that your faith is alive and well if you show acts of favoritism and partiality that, for instance, result in dishonoring the poor within a Christian context? Not good, he says. When you believe in Jesus and then you treat some people better than others, that's not good. It's a sign of faith that is dead. Or he says, when you fail to keep the whole law of God, when you just choose bits and pieces to obey and not everything that God commands. For the person who keeps all of the laws except one is as guilty as a person who's broken all of God's laws. That's a sign that maybe your faith is not as alive as you claim it to be. Or when you don't show mercy to other people, when you refuse to act kindly to others. Says there will be no pity for those who don't have pity on others. There will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others. But if you have been merciful, God will be merciful when he judges you. Or he says, when you are paying lip service to your faith, but you're not expressing that faith through good works. When you learn the right words, but you never do anything. James says, what good is it if you say you have faith, but you don't show it by your actions? If you say you have faith, but you do nothing, your faith is worth nothing. And so in the end, James says it all comes down to this. Faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. It says, unless your faith produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Faith that does nothing is dead. James says, God talk without God acts is no good. But here's what's important, though, and this is what you have to keep in mind. James does not give us these criteria so we can judge other people, okay? He does not tell us what these signs of a dead faith are to help us make judgments about other people's faith. So we can look at other people and say, wow, you know, look at that person. Now, these criteria are for self-diagnosis. And these measures are there to help us look at ourselves so we can do some introspection and on the state of our own faith. Because with the help of the Holy Spirit, James's signs of a dead faith can enable us to resuscitate our faith when it's no longer working. So when a person dies, they no longer communicate or move. But a person with dead faith keeps right on moving and right on talking, even when they've supposedly stopped moving. Ethel Barrett put it this way. She says, "You have a tongue in your head and you have two tongues in your shoes. And no matter what the tongue in your head is saying, the tongues in your shoes tell what you're doing and where you're going. And the awful truth is that the tongues in your shoes have the last word." And it was the psychologist Alfred Adler who said, "Trust only movement. Life happens at the level of events, not of words. Trust movement." So the reality is that what we do tells more about the state of our faith than what we say. And that is what James meant when he said, faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. Or as the popular phrase goes, we need to not only talk the talk, but also walk the walk. Otherwise, all we do is talk. All right, now I'm sure there are some of you who's now going and saying, you know, but what you say, isn't that exactly the opposite of what the Apostle Paul said in the Bible? So let's look at that. In Romans, for instance, Paul says, "For we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works prescribed by the law." So he says, we made right with God through what? Through faith, and not by obeying the law. We're acceptable to God because we have faith, not because of what we do. And in Galatians, he said it again. And he said, "And we have come to believe in Christ Jesus so we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by doing the works of the law. Because no one will be justified by the works of the law." So what are we then to make of what the Apostle Paul said? And some people will argue that what James says about good works seems to contradict what Paul said. But here's the thing. Paul was talking about when we were still in the darkness of sin. It was before the new life, the place where faith plus nothing else but the grace of God can bring us to new life. So we are saved by God's grace through faith. And that's how we move from darkness to light. So works, yeah, it cannot save you, okay? Only God's grace and your faith can save you. And that's what Paul is talking about. James, on the other hand, is talking about after we are in the new life, after we saved through faith, if we have received a new life through faith in Christ, but then let the new life die by not walking the talk, by not putting our faith into action. Or like someone put it, if we come to faith and then not express that faith in works, it makes as much sense as someone who whacks a ball over the back fence for a home run and then just stand there on home plate. Now, of course, being a disciple of Christ is not all about good works. It's about repentance. It's about believing in Christ as your Savior. But faith and works do belong together. In the end, it's really about a working faith. And I want you to picture it this way. Let's say you are in a rowboat. Anybody ever been on one of those rowboats in Central Park? Okay, so you're in a rowboat. So you have the word faith on one of the oars, and you have the word works on the other oar. And so when you try rowing with either one of the oars alone, what happens? The boat simply goes in a circle, right? Clockwise with one oar, counterclockwise with the other one. And so to actually go anywhere, you need to use both oars together. And that's what's called a working faith. Faith with movement. Faith with works. So just in case, you know, any of his readers don't know what he means by works, James gives them and he gives us an example. Verse 15. He says, for instance, you come up upon an old friend dressed in rags and half starved, and you say, good morning, friend. Be clothed in Christ. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you walk off without providing so much as a coat or a cup of soup. Where does that get you? He says. What good is that? In that situation, your words really mean nothing. It's just lip service, not good works. Or it's like the cartoon of a woman lying on a couch, and she's obviously sick and miserably so. And the sink is stacked with dirty dishes. A huge basket of clothes that need to be washed sits nearby. Two dirty children are fighting in one corner. In the other, a cat is licking milk from a puddle where a carton had split open. And a smiling woman is standing in the doorway saying, well, Florence, if there's anything I can do to help, don't hesitate to let me know, okay? So the point James is making is that we should respond to everyday situations in ways that reflect the values of Jesus. Because faith without works is dead. So here's what I want you to remember. The cornerstone of the Christian faith is what? Is resurrection. Jesus was crucified for our sake. He died a cruel death on the cross so that we can be forgiven and reconciled with God. But he came back to life. And he was raised to life 3 days after he died, and he conquered death forever. So God is the God of resurrection. God is the God of revival. God is the God of rebirth, of renewal. And even a dead faith can come alive again. And that was most likely the reason James issued his criteria for knowing when a faith was dead. So that believers would get moving and become doers as well. So let me close with an old fable about a man who was walking through a forest. And then he saw a fox that had lost its legs. And the man wondered how the fox lived. How did the fox manage to live? And then he saw a tiger come with game in its mouth. And the tiger ate its fill and then left the rest for the fox. And the man saw the hand of God in this. And so he decided that he would rest in a corner with full trust that the Lord would provide him with all he needed, just as he did for the fox. And so he did this for many days, but no one brought him anything. And when he's almost at death's door, he heard a voice say, "Oh, you are in a path of error. Open your eyes to the truth. Follow the example of the tiger and stop imitating the disabled fox." And that is what Paul said in agreement with James. "For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus." Why? "For good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life." God creates each one of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work that he does. He has made us new in Christ Jesus so we can do the things he planned for us long ago already. And that is how our faith actually stays alive. Because faith without works is dead. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for your word, and thank you for the reminder today that having received a new life in Jesus Christ, having been saved by your grace, we need to put that faith into action through good deeds, through doing good things. Remembering that it's not the works or the things we do that actually save us. The works is a result of our faith, of us having received your grace and your forgiveness and the new life. It's a way for us to show our gratefulness for who you are and to follow the example of our Lord Jesus. May you bless us with your Spirit so we can be those people who don't just say that we believe, but actually show it with our works. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.